but we just weren't really religious about it. So on my faith journey and getting to know God, like, you know, like probably like everybody who's in the faith or not in the faith, you know, at times would be like, God, are you really real or not? So for me, like, I want to know, and I, at the time, like, I did believe, but you just wanted that interaction. So one night, it was on December 8th, right? That's Mary's...
I don't remember. Okay. It's a feast day of Mary, yeah. I know for sure.
It's the Immaculate Conception, I want to say.
Okay, yeah.
And so that night, I came home from, you know, spending time with one of my friends in Newman Club, and I was just, you know, we were talking about God that night, so I was just kind of filled with the whole Holy Spirit, and that night I was just praying in my head just over and over as I was falling asleep, Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in that point where you're sleeping, like you're awake, but you're more like sleeping, and all of a sudden I did hear like a man's voice, and he said one Hail Mary with me, and then I kind of like woke up, looked around in my room, and went right back to sleep again.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's the other.
So you believe that was Jesus saying the Hail Mary with you as you were going to sleep?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I believe my co-host said that if you don't finish the rosary, or if you're like falling asleep and you're saying like a Hail Mary, that your guardian angel will finish it for you. So that's like another idea too, to know that our guardian angels and saints are there with us, praying for us. So you remembered that.
Oh yeah.
And that was like important in your faith journey, because it kind of helped you to understand, okay, God could be real, because I believe I just heard him with me. Right? Is that how you kind of felt?
Mm-hmm. And of course it's scared me, like, once I realized putting it, like, even now I'm talking about it now, because it's like, it's something that you don't, like, I don't share that often.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously the Holy Spirit is telling me to share, so it's okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
But, mm-hmm. But yeah, it's just like, again, it's not something that happens, like, this is the thing, like, God doesn't speak to you or on a regular basis, so, like, every time that you do get a sense that he does talk to you, if not his voice or just any sense, for me, that sense is, like, I get this gut feeling, like, this solid feeling inside my heart that, like, I know it was God speaking to me, whatever way that is. So, like you said before, it's not going to be that normal, like, face-to-face type of conversation, because he's God. He's going to speak to you the way that he designed to speak to you in your own personal way.
Well, there's, like, different ways that he could speak to us.
Yeah.
Right? There's, like, a God can... I've heard that, like, he could speak to us through our friends, our family, the advice of good friends who, mm-hmm. you know, are in the faith and are older, you know, role models. What else? Through
even prayer, like,
uh-huh, go ahead. Yeah.
For me too, more like when I'm actually in a church, if it's like during Mass, or if I go into the church on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, actually, I'll share this little story. Last week, I was in school, and I was at my last class, and kind of some anxiety kicked up for me. Just, it was now, like, in a small class, we're all circled together, and, you know, just, like, what's going on in the world today. Like, it kind of came close to home, knowing the fact you're in a class, and now, like, you know, it's a real, like, a aha moment, like, no, this is what's going on in the world, and people are being affected by it. So, when I'm sitting there in class, like I said, the anxiety kind of picked up, and I just wanted to be with my, you know, my people, like, my Newman Club friends. I wanted to have God, and just was looking for that comfort. And I went on my way home to church, on my way home, I stopped at the church near my house, because I really wanted that comfort. Mm-hmm. And I went and talked to God, and usually when I am kind of nervous or just have a lot of things to say to God, or I don't know exactly how to say it, my mind is like...
Yeah, everything that you want to say is just like...
It just kind of...
It circles, it goes on and on. Mm-hmm.
And I do, at the very end of all my rambling to him, I just said to him, I said, God, how can I be comforted on my, like, if I'm out there on my own in the world when I'm not surrounded with my, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ, how could I still feel, like, safe and comforted and just secure? Yeah, the word is secure. How can I feel secure? And the minute that my mind went, like, you know, quiet, he slipped right in. And I always have described it to people, again, with people I can feel like I can trust, that it's, like, deep from back within my mind, and it's my voice, but not, like, very strongly,
mm-hmm.
and it's quiet,
mm-hmm.
and these words came to me, and the words, you know the truth, the way, and the heart that I bestowed upon you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, okay. And I walked away with it.
Okay.
And I'm like almost okay. And I didn't know again. Like I wasn't sure. Was it me saying, telling me this, or was this God, like, no, God's words to me?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a better sense of it. Like when it is deep in the, nobody can see me, but as my hand gesturing here, like way back of my mind, back there, far. Like I feel, I do get the sense that it is coming from Him.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to one of my friends, Stephanie, I'm like, this is from him and not me telling myself this. And she's like, and it makes sense. When you are in a church and you're praying, and for me, if I do hear words that come to me, it's like, it is coming from God. Like, you're sitting right in front of the tabernacle. Where else is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh my gosh. So he's telling me, and which is great because I don't know if I'll ever get this again. He's telling me that, you know, Megan, you know the truth, and you know the way in your heart. So what, and then to me it's like, then what do I need more? Like, that's it. As long as, you know, I don't know if I, you know what I'm saying. Like, that's all I need. So that's like my security. Just know, Megan, remember that you know the truth and you know the way. Mm-hmm. So regardless what other people think or what's going on in the world, if you keep your eyes on me, and you keep following me, and you keep having this beautiful relationship, loving relationship, then, you know, you have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me, I feel like God was telling you, keep walking in the truth. Like, we're on this journey, we're walking down the road, and God is like saying to you, and he's also saying to all of us, keep walking in that truth, and which is me. God is like in John, and God saying, I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
So God, I believe, is saying, keep walking in that truth, keep following me, like you're saying, keep your eyes on me, and I'm always with you as long as you, you know, you're trying your best to consciously walk in my way and be with me. I'm gonna be with you, and I'm always there with you. Through the difficult moments and through the hard times. And it also reminded me of the scripture. A couple of scriptures came to mind as you were talking, but the other one where it's Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener, like the who prunes like the vines, and like we're the branches. So we need to remain on the vine, and if we don't, then God is going to, if we don't bear fruit, if we don't remain in, if we're not part of the plant, we can't produce fruit,
mm-hmm.
and then we're gonna we die, or you know, it doesn't bear fruit. So that kind of reminded me of Jesus is saying, like, stay with me, like, walk the journey. that's amazing how, you know, God really does speak to us when we're quiet, mm-hmm. but he also talks to us through the scripture. He also talks to us while we're sitting quietly at church or during the mass itself, you know.
Adoration.
Adoration. Tell us about that.
I love adoration. So I was there just last night at the seminary in Huntington, at the Adore Adoration, and I you know, he speaks in ways, again, if anybody has gone through the same experience I have, but like, you could just feel his presence, like, he's there. There's some type of, like, force right in front of you that, like, is first out, like, right in front of you to, like, with me, I'll feel it in my chest. Sometimes it's, like, hard to breathe, and I experienced that when I was at the spring retreat that we were on at the seminary, like, that feeling of I'm sitting in front of the tabernacle, and I'm, like, with my best friend Carly, and I'm, like, Carly, I can't breathe, it's so strong, and she knew exactly what I was talking about too. And yeah, sometimes I don't get any words, which is fine, at adoration. It's just staying quiet, and just sometimes you just, like, you know, Jesus is your best friend, so you can be silent sitting in, right next to each other, and you don't need to say any words.
Or just recognizing that this is different, like what you're saying. This is different. Like what's going on here? Like, you felt a presence, or you felt something different. Just kind of, I guess, just putting yourself in that space is just awesome too. Mm-hmm. Just to allow God to come into our life in that way.
And I melt, like, at adoration. Like, I'll feel my whole body just like.
Like, you become relaxed, like that kind of thing.
No, nice. And I, like, mm-hmm. And if, you know, if the priest gives, like, a little homily or a talk in between, or during adoration, and like, last night, talking about the Eucharist, and once you receive the Eucharist, like, it's in your heart, and your whole heart just starts beating in a whole different way. It's like, I melt. I want to cry. And then I'm there praying, like, just saying to Jesus, like, I love you, just so much, and I have so much gratitude and thanks for, like, all that you have done in my life. So,
and that's perfect timing, because, you know, Thanksgiving is coming up this week, and all of us were, you know, preparing, getting ready, thinking about, you know, the wonderful time we're going to have with our family. But like you said, it's just so important, just in such a simple way, just to say, Jesus, you know, I love you. Just thank you so much for everything that you've given me. And, you know, help me to love you during the hard times too, you know?
Yeah, for me, yeah. I think during, for no person, like, with my own hard times, I mean, maybe in the beginning, before, like, I would want to turn my back on him in those hard times. Like, why am I going through this? Where are you? But no matter what, it's like I never did. Like, I mean, feel like I want to do that, but, like, I would lean on him even more. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's true. He's giving you that strength and grace to lean on him during the rough times. So we're actually going to take a little break right now. We're going to play a song, and we'll come back and talk more about with Megan. Thank you.
I actually have Mass, which is really nice, too. It's not the adoration for a vocation that I know a lot of people are familiar with. I'm not sure what group this is, but I know, like I said, it's at the Huntington Seminary, and Father Declan at least speaks and does the Mass and part of adoration, so he's the main priest running the show.
Oh, beautiful. It's a great way to have fellowship, but also, you know, spending some time with the Lord on a Friday night.
Yeah.
And having some food, and, you know, it's very, like, low-key kind of, mm-hmm. you know. If you can't make it, it's fine. If you want to just check it out, that's fine, too. The seminary is just such a beautiful place. You know,
special place.
Yeah, special and, you know, holy place. Sometimes you need to, like, just get away and go to those little places on your own, you know, or with a friend. So it's wonderful. Thank you. I wanted to mention that to our listeners in case they're able to make it. And another thing that I wanted to mention was before we just briefly, Megan mentioned about the world today and some of the stuff that's going on, and I was talking with a friend about just like suffering and just you know, he mentioned to me, if we offer our sufferings up to God as a prayer, they could tremendously help our nation. Or he said something along those lines, that like praying for our nation and the hard times that we're going through can be used to help our country and help our nation. And that just kind of reminded me, like, wow, you know, how many times do we pray for our nation or kind of keep that in mind? I mean, I kind of just want to block it out, or just kind of, you know, you watch or you learn something and you're like, okay, you know, this is terrible, but
let's move on.
Let's move on.
I don't want it to affect my life. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's good, but I think we also
just have to be aware of it.
Be aware. Yeah. What else? What do you think?
I mean, mm-hmm. I know at Stony Brook at Mass, and I'm just recalling you know, not off being just off campus at different masses. Like, they do always in the prayers, you know, say a prayer for our nation's leaders. So, because, you know,
that covers that base when we go to Mass, you know, keep it in mind at Mass.
Mm-hmm. But that's the only time I say it and do it, because when I'm with God, I'm praying my personal needs and my personal, you know, family and friends. So the ones, like, closest
like
to
really
you.
Like, really important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Otherwise, I don't. That's the end of my list. And for my country, which maybe I should now, just thinking as I say it now, thinking about it.
I guess, yeah, I mean, it's
home.
It's always good to, I guess, have an open mind. You know, when we go to Mass, it's great because, like you said, there's different petitions that are mentioned, like for the church, for our nation, for the sick, those who have passed away. I think it's really great that it covers all of that, but if we can, I was just thinking, like, it's a good way to help, like, our leaders and stuff, just in our small sacrifice, if we can remember. If not, I'm sure God knows that we,
He knows your heart.
Yeah, or if we're saying the rosary and you just mention, okay, this decade is going to be for our country and for the military and, you know, our veterans or something like that. So mm-hmm. it was just something that I was thinking of. So, and it tied in a little bit with what you were mentioning. But let's talk a little bit about the retreat and mission trip that you recently went on. Just tell us a little bit about how you've grown in your faith and what it was about and what you experienced and how it changed your life.
It did.
When did you go on the mission trip, and where did you go?
So it was my very first mission trip, and Joanne, she's our campus minister at Stony Brook. I went to her. It was like actually last school year, so last fall when school was starting. And I was part of a small group, and I was really discerning about going, you know, like, honestly, like, just dropping everything and going to God. And during small group, it was about the story, Zechariah? No, the tree. He was, like, in the tax collector. He was
on
the tree.
Oh, he climbed the tree.
Yeah.
The person, I forget, it might have been Zechariah. Yeah, I think it's Zechariah. And Jesus is like, come down from the tree. I'm going to have dinner at your house, right?
Something like that. But regardless, he was a tax collector and he wasn't a follower. But Jesus saw him and be like, you know, in the end, he became a follower and gave up his whole life to, you know, live a life in Christ. And if I'm wrong, don't quote me on that. But
No, it's we forget his name, but yeah, Jesus was calling him to follow him, essentially, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the gist of it.
Yeah, so when I was in small group and we were doing that passage, like, in my heart, and again, you know, it was like God, like, it just touched me, like, the idea of dropping everything and going. So I was really discerning because I wanted to do a mission trip. And I remember saying to Joanne at one time during the week on a Tuesday night Mass, like, I'm actually thinking about going to DR, like, that mission trip. And, of course, she was like, you know, wow, because knowing me, like, I really have suffered with anxiety, and for me to do something like that, you know, it's a big step. But then I didn't act on it, so therefore, you know, I had to be moved enough to do that. So the spring retreat that we both went on last spring, it was based on Cast Your Anxiety on Him. And again, like, I was really still discerning if I really want to go. And
on a mission trip in general,
yeah,
because at that point the Dominican Republic had passed. But you were still thinking about it for a future
mission
trip.
Yeah, so if it meant like the spring one where we're in the United States doing a trip there and serving.
Mm-hmm.
And Katarina, I have to say that this retreat ends on Sunday, and then by Monday, like, I knew I was going. Like, I was being called, I was being pushed. Like, it was like this some sensation, like, I need to do this, and I don't know why, but I just know that I need to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we went to Ohio and Cincinnati, and we were through the Franciscans of the Poor. I was nervous as can be. It was like, for me, this like going on my very first retreat, because I had never been away from home for like 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now being 12 hours away from home, not 2 hours away from home, because when we go on the fall retreats, we're 2 hours away from home, and it's like, you know, 48 hours, not even,
mm-hmm.
like a short weekend. So I was so nervous, but again, like, I pushed through, and again, like, I just need to go, I need to follow him. And, you know, it's kind of funny how, like, actually that fall retreat last year, it was based on the Fishermen of Men, like, drop your nets and come follow me. And then with the spring retreat, it's like, cast your anxiety is on him. So it's like, it was like kind of all meant to be. Like, it was just following through. And I guess that's also how God was speaking to me. And I felt really, at least last year, like, I really need to follow him and trust him. And so, like I said, I pushed through as nervous as I was, but I did it. I'm so happy that I did it, because it did change my whole life. And it was such an amazing experience. And we stayed, so we worked through the Franciscans of the Poor. And what I loved about the trip was that once we got there, I mean, I knew this going into it, that we were allowed to sign up for different things that we wanted to do that day and whatever organization we would be serving. And it was all serving for the poor. And I just love the fact, like, during that week we could do different things. And Wednesday of that week, as a whole group, we I think it was for Habitat for Humanity, like, we worked on a house together. I know, it's like, thinking back, it was just an amazing experience. And it was really, the whole lesson for me in the end was, you know, like Peter. And I always tell, like, when I share about the mission trip, the story of Peter when he was walking out on the boat on the water, and Jesus is like, no, come and follow me, and reaches his hand. So, like, that for me, like, this whole mission trip was that experience for me and lesson. So I always, like, so in the way, I also feel like I got closer to Peter too.
Yeah, you felt like him, you could connect with,
yeah,
with Saint Peter in that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And even Sunday when we're almost there, morning, we were in Pennsylvania at the time, we went to Mass, Sunday Mass, and the church actually, I think, was called actually like Saint Peter, is, and you saw the on one side of the, in front of, or the back of the church where the tabernacle is, like, on the left side from where I was sitting, like, it was the mural of that whole story. And then when we're in Ohio, but we're also on the border of Kentucky, so we were also in Kentucky a little bit too, the cathedral there that we stopped and visit, that mural was there too. So I'm like, okay, like, this is I'm living this story now, like, trusting God and doing his work and him showing himself to me that I am here, which he definitely has done that.
Like walking on the water. So you felt that you were walking on the water with Jesus by going on that mission trip.
Yeah.
And then you saw the murals twice showing that story. And then I just thought of, I think Jesus was casting his net and he caught you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
he caught you into this mission trip and you had a phenomenal, and it helped you grow in your faith in so many ways, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was just a humbling experience. My favorite place that we went and volunteered at was called the Rose Garden. And it was run by the Sisters of the Franciscans of the Poor. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was unbelievable. Like, Mary's presence, Jesus' presence. Like, it was, like, somebody's presence was there. And it was so strong. And I never heard, praise the Lord, God is great, in my whole entire life. And I'm like, where am I? Where am I? And this whole facility was just originally for, like, women who are poor, that with babies. And they have expanded, like, to a food pantry, to a place where, not just for women or children, but for men and as well, you know, can come and get food, to see a doctor. They had a whole section, like, as for, you know, doctors' rooms for them to come and get checked. They had a whole dental section it was just amazing. And I was, like, picking out through the old raspberries, and as I was doing so, like, I felt somebody's presence was behind me, and I didn't need to turn around, because, like, I just knew, like, he was there right behind me. So that place was just an amazing experience, and just, like, how happy the sisters were just to, you know, serve the poor, and just the stories that they shared about, you know, there was a Valentine's Day, and they ran out of sandwiches, if it wasn't Valentine's Day, but, like, they ran out of sandwiches to hand out. And they went to go look in the freezer, and they knew there was nothing there. And the next thing they knew, they opened it up, and all these sandwiches were there. I'm like, and she's like, you can't make that up.
Like, the last time they checked, there was nothing, but then somehow they were there.
Yeah.
And they didn't know, like, who put them there and stuff. Wow.
And it's, like, the amount of food that people were bringing in. I never saw so many peppers my whole entire life.
Mm.
And I sent to one of the sisters who was, like, showing us around and keeping us on track, I said to her, this is just like the story that we read the night before, like, we were as a group together at the house that we were staying at, like, when they were fishing, and all of a sudden there's all these fish that kept coming. I'm like, it's just exactly like this. I'm like, it's actually true. And the sister looked at me and was like, of course it's true. But I'm like, sister, you don't understand, like, I'm just kind of new to the faith still, and this is, like, completely mind-blowing. And
Yeah.
So that's that place in particular, like, I'll never forget, and it had an impact on me. And just, like, just being there, and just being your presence being there for different people throughout the whole week. I mean, I was definitely out of my comfort zone, especially when we went to the Lutheran church and actually seeing the poor face to face, and, you know, handing out food to them. Like, I was kind of petrified, because I'm like, the woman who was, like, showing us around, she's like, you know, we want to make sure your stuff is locked and safe, because, you know,
you just never know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, oh, okay.
You're like, no, hopefully I don't die.
Yeah, but it was fine. And Joanne was with us, and it was just beautiful the way I caught up with the emotions just watching her interact with the people, the poor. And it was just, it was a whole new light was shined on her, and it was like a light, like God radiating out of her, and that was just beautiful. And so between Marianne and Joanne, just having them as, like, you know, are really, for me, like a role model, and just learned so much from just watching them, and then just being there and being with other people, and it was just.
And how many, it was 5 days you mentioned?
Mm-hmm.
And did you guys drive to, yes, and then you drove back.
Yep. Well, yeah.
How many hours was it?
Going there, we left on Saturday morning, and then we stayed overnight at a hotel in Pennsylvania. So then Sunday, that's when we went to Mass, Sunday morning, and then Sunday we got there. We got there about like maybe 4, and then leaving on Friday, we drove all the way back home straight. And that, I was kind of like, it wasn't bad. I wasn't sure how it was going to be like driving 12 hours straight, but we stopped in between. It was
okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
I'm sure it was fun too, because, you know, you had your friends there, yeah. And the time went by a little quicker. Yeah.
And they've been such a great support for me, because the ones that I felt closest to, I'm like, you're gonna help me. Like, I'm asking you to help me get through this.
You're gonna stay right by my side.
Yeah, and they were just so great, and so it's definitely, I'll never forget it. Just for the people that I've met on the mission trip. I know we don't have a whole lot of time, but like another place that we went and we spent the day with adults who have special needs and disabilities, like that was an amazing experience, and especially this one woman that I met who was deaf, but she, the way that she spoke was through writing, and I'm like, me being a writer, like, this is great, like, you know, and she was just very sweet. This year too, I decided that I'm going on the spring mission trip as well. It's gonna be different for me, at least. It's gonna be home repairing, and we're going to West Virginia in Wyoming County, the Appalachian area. And yeah, so I'm still like taking, and this one I didn't have to discern as much. Like, I knew after, you know, talking to Joanne about my worries and concern about going on this mission trip, after talking to her, like, I knew what I had to do. Like, I had to go.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. That's during spring break, right?
Yes.
Great.
And this one's a bit longer. I think we're there for, we leave Saturday, and then we come back on Saturday. So that's like a whole week.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Great.
So we have 5 full days of doing service there. And in addition to the home repair, Joanne said we would also be going to like a food bank or food pantry, so we'd be serving there as well. So
doing both. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. You got to get your helmet ready and your working gear,
yeah,
and your gloves. Oh, that's exciting. Great, great, great. Thanks so much, Megan, for sharing about that experience and how you're on fire to go on the next one. That's really awesome. By sharing your story here, I'm sure many people are going to listen and be inspired to go on a mission trip where you can, just in your everyday life, share what it's about and, you know, why somebody should go on it, you know?
It's like, for me, it's like really, again, like putting my full trust and faith into God. Like, I am dropping everything and going to, at least that was for really my first mission trip. And the second one, I feel like it's more of, like, I'm giving myself to somebody who is in need. And again, it's like your presence. And I was telling Joanne too, like, what I'm looking forward most to is just meeting the people and just talking with them and just being there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what someone really needs sometimes, is just somebody to listen to and just to know that somebody cares. That's mm-hmm. really what. Very, in a nutshell, what we need sometimes. Okay, great. So we're going to kind of segue into a saint that I was just kind of, I was running out of my house, and I felt inspired to bring this little piece of paper. It's about St. Catherine of Siena. And she has a quote here that I thought fit beautifully with what Megan was saying before about God's love for us and how we love God and just that connection. And I'm going to read a little bit about it. It says, "Why the sheep love the way they do." So another parable in the Bible is that we're the sheep and Jesus is the good shepherd and
we follow him.
Yeah, we're his flock. Which is interesting how a flock is usually for birds, but it's a flock of sheep, but
yeah, it must come from somewhere.
It must be somewhere, but and but anyway, so St. Catherine said, "The good, gentle Jesus, love, dies of thirst and hunger for our salvation." She's referring to the cross and his crucifixion. And when Jesus said, "I thirst," on the cross, and that his hunger for us, for our salvation, for to be united with him.
Mm-hmm.
"I beg you, for love of Christ crucified, to keep your eyes on the hunger of this Lamb. I have no doubt that if you turn your understanding's eye to look at yourself and realize that you are not, you will discover with what blazing love your being has been given to you. I tell you, your heart and affection will not be able to keep from exploding for love. Selfishness will not be able to live there. You will seek yourself not for your own sake, for your own advantage, but will love them and long for their salvation, for the praise and glory of God's name, helping others and essentially helping others get closer to Christ.
Yeah.
For you will see that God loves people above all else, and this is why God's servants love other people so much, because they see that the Creator loves them above all else. I love what the person I love loves. That's the nature of love. God's servants, I say, love God not for their own sake, but because God is supreme, eternal goodness and deserves to be loved." That's really ties in beautifully with what you're saying, that you're giving up everything to serve the people that you will encounter in West Virginia in the coming months. And it's you're an example of loving God by loving the people yeah. that he loves.
And I think now too, like after you just said that, something that I'm trying to work on for myself and something, because I always pray too that, you know, God, please strengthen me in the areas that I'm weak, is to like really fully look at people and see them as Christ himself and just love them. Because I found when I started working with my new therapist at the time, she's a Catholic social worker, Rose Molfetta, and like I was gravitated by at the time, like I had no idea what it was, and through time I learned that it was love, and God is love. So to like just be with people, no matter where they are, what they believe, what they think, you know, rich, poor, just like to give and share that love. Because that's all we want and need. So I'm like kind of like in that process of working toward that more mm-hmm. and more.
Yeah.
So.
I think that's something we could all pray and ask for that and to get, you know, to get better at that with God's grace, to see other people as God sees us or sees
yeah,
them.
Exactly.
Because it's definitely hard, especially when people hurt you or you don't. It's like human not to like somebody, or you know, have an argument and you know you don't see somebody a certain way, but God still calls us to love them and to still wish the best for them and
exactly.
to say a prayer for them. And you know, it's I think that's really like following in the Christian way, is to just try our best and ask God to help us
mm-hmm.
connect and love others with that. So so we have 2 minutes left, and
2 minutes.
Yay. So we're just gonna end with a quick prayer, and as God says, when two or more are gathered in my name.
I love that quote. I really,
really?
Do.
Oh,
I do.
No. Oh, great. How come you love it?
Oh, that's another story. I guess you had to have me come back on.
Oh, okay,
But yeah, I love it so much. I met a priest that was visiting from Ireland, and if he was here, he would be my spiritual director. And then I told him, if you were in the United States, I would see you every other week and just sit and talk with you. And he just showed me so much. And that's the first, he shared that quote with me as we're sitting in the church, just the two of us. And he's like, do you know it? And I'm like, I don't know. So it was just very, like, it was just very movie-esque. But even though I was living,
you were living like a movie scene by being with him.
And he's saying that quote, and ever since that, it's like, it's true. It's my favorite quote.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Well, you'll tell us more about it next time you come. We're just going to say a quick prayer. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the Lord bless and keep all of our listeners. May his face shine upon all of us and be gracious to us. May he look upon us kindly and give us peace. Amen. In Christ Jesus' name. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Megan.
Thank you,
everybody. God bless you. And have a great, great weekend and Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next time.